Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and today we have a special guest from Portland Public Schools, Dr. Kimberly Armstrong. Doc, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
You know, here we are in New Orleans, you know, one of the biggest conferences of the year. I see that you have team members being very surgical about what sessions you go to. What's the importance of bringing your team here and really diving into some of the cool things we see around the country?
Yeah, well, I love the question. I will tell you that we need to stand on strategy in everything we do, right? Now, people say from the boardroom to the classroom and everywhere in between. And it starts with us leading out as the learners, situating ourselves in the work.
Love that. Love that. And, you know, for you, 8 months into the superintendency, yes. You know what? Bless you, thank you. You know, but let's talk about what that is. That how's it been? First of all, I see you smiling still. Yes.
Listen, Portland is an incredible community. You know, it's the only urban district in the state of Oregon. You know, I was a kiddo that came up through poverty, lots of impacts in the family, lots of transitions in and out of school. You know, I had never been in one school for more than 2 years consecutively.
Oh.
So it was important for me to...
I mean, that really impacts
everyone. Oh, right? Absolutely. Being able to retain. I imagine as I moved to different districts in my family that struggle with housing, you know, that whatever that continuum of learning looked like from one district didn't look like that for another district, right?
Yeah.
And so, and even in same districts, even you move from one school building to another, lots of inconsistencies.
Yeah. How does that continuity look like? I mean, it's so important to have the continuity because the mobility continues to climb.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine the overall cost for homes or rent in Portland's probably extremely high. And in Tampa, where I used to lead, we often had a focus point on homeless students, but I had homeless teachers. I mean, it's so expensive to be able to do it. So in this 8 months, what have been some fun things you've got a chance to grapple with and get in under the hood and work in Portland?
Yeah, well, the first is building the team.
Yeah.
Right? Know the team.
There you go.
Really focusing on their strengths. Yeah. I mean, we're only as strong as our team that surround us, right? And so it's important to have a strong team. We've launched a literacy campaign.
Okay.
And that's going well. We're out handing out free books across our city.
Okay.
I'm advocating down in Salem at the Capitol for funding to get quality education model fully funded. We're right now facing a $40 million deficit. And so really educating people.
Is that $40 million in Portland or at the state level?
No, in Portland.
Wow.
Specifically. So that's about 5% of our budget. And so really, yes, educating people on the realities of what that means for outfitting our classroom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two important things you talked about, the $40 million. As I transitioned to Hillsboro, I had the greatest deficit in Florida's ever seen, $150 million I had to cut. And that equated to really hurting kids. I had to cut 1,500 people. I was cutting at the district level, cutting initiatives that made sense. Yeah. So you talk about the $40 million, that is a lot of money. When you look at that, I know some of that will be people, some of that will be initiatives. Yeah. How important is it to galvanize your community to be inclusive in the legislative process?
Yeah. Well, I think galvanizing the community is the word.
Yeah.
So I let out early, I told folks, look, I have one objective, and that's to get information out early and often. So we began stakeholder engagement. We began with our draft proposed list of reductions. We created many opportunities for feedback. And we were really just trying to say like, hey, here's our reality. What feedback do you have? We went back, made revisions. And I will say we're bringing community along with us. I mean, of course, the reductions is never comfortable and people aren't excited,
right.
But they're not having the conversation in our boardroom. They're having it down in the hearing room in Salem.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, it's so smart. And I think the more that you're in concert with your board members, concert with your local delegators, concert with all your, chambers and student parent organizations, the stronger you can come together to be able to move that needle, to be able to at least maybe cut that 40 to 20 or get it fully funded.
Absolutely.
Fully funded. I mean, for the first time, for those who are watching, the first time that public education got properly funded was in ESSER.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it took a pandemic to do it.
Yeah.
I think we missed the boat as superintendents around the country to come together in organizations to validate what works so we can duplicate the legislators to have that funding to do it. But now more than ever, it's so important because enrollment's slipping in some particular places across the country. I mean, it's harder to find a longer, stronger bench of educators. And, your focal point's right. You just recently talked about literacy and being in the community. So what does that literacy plan look like? Because it is the foundation of everything that we do.
Yes, absolutely. And first, let me just say this. You know, one of the things that we said in the pandemic is that we wouldn't go back to business as usual.
That's right.
That we would think differently. We would fund differently. We would show up differently. And guess what? We're back to business as usual.
That's right.
When talking about literacy, we're at crisis level. Yeah. We have a reading crisis in the state of Oregon. I imagine that we have that crisis all across the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
But in Portland specific, reading is a civil right. So we need to do everything we can to make sure that our students are emerging as strong readers. We love on kids. We support kids. But the very first conversation is reading. And when you're in an urban district and you know that there's a tremendous amount of trauma, right? There's one way to make sure that you can support kids that are experiencing a tremendous amount of trauma. And that's to make sure that they can read.
Absolutely. I mean, for them to give them a sense of hope and confidence as they interact with content, as they are able to understand and comprehend and have fluency in that process, but really have an operational vocabulary and background that gives them an opportunity to be successful, have outside experiences and background experiences that dive into literacy, and then be able to synthesize multiple literary elements to be successful. And for you being in the community, because listen, literacy just can't happen during school hours. It's got to be at home, before, during, after school. It's got to be a 360 accountability movement from your mayor's office or your city council, your parents, your leaders. All that has to be inclusive to be able to do some cool things for kids every single day. I give you credit for the boldness and being able to do it because, we got two choices. We can sit on the sideline or we can drive the ball down the field. And it sounds like you're definitely doing that.
Every day.
In the 8 months, so what's the vision for Portland? Like, what are we trying to accomplish, the next, it could be 3 months, 1 year, 5 years. What do you want to do in Portland?
I love that. So I have three priorities.
All right.
The first is advancing literacy.
I want to stop you. Okay. For those who are watching, it's not 8 priorities. It's not 9 priorities. It's not like this 25-page list of the things we're going to do. It is 3 priorities that we're going to hang our hat on in Portland.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Go again, Doc.
No. Literacy.
There we go.
Right? It's our conversation must start and end with literacy.
Amen.
Our students must be able to access the core program. They have to emerge as strong readers, right? It's not just to do the work that happens in school. It's to do the work that happens in community and businesses and so far, everywhere else in between. The second is building trust and relationships. I have had so many opportunities to engage with our community, our teachers, our administrators about the things that are heavy, what's weighing them down, right? We had a strike last year. So there was definitely some tension between central office and teachers. And so I've been leaning into that work. Yeah. And the third priority is to make sure that we're building schools in classrooms that are safe, that are clean, that create working conditions that our teachers want to show up to. We just referred a $1.8 billion bond. We have three high schools that will be remodeling and some other things that will happen out of that bond should it pass in May.
Yeah.
But that's the work right now. Those are the priorities.
That's awesome. So you got some groundwork to do, ground game with the bond, right?
Yes.
Is this a new bond to Portland or would it be renewed?
It's a renewed, though, so there's not an increase to the tax rate.
Gotcha.
We had a bond in 2020.
Okay.
So this is us coming back five years later, not raising the tax rate.
Yeah.
But it gives us an opportunity to draw bond funds for the next 8 years.
Love it. I mean, I think that now more than ever, I mean, as you look at deferred maintenance, you look at, you know,
$1 billion in deferred maintenance for us.
On facilities. Wow. And are all your facilities actively full or you've got areas of opportunity for there?
Well, we're not completely full yet, but what I will say is...
We will get there in Portland when Dr. Kimberly Armstrong driving this thing. We'll be there.
Absolutely. I'm extremely hopeful. What I will say is that we have over 80 facilities. Most of them are in poor condition and the average age is 74 years.
$1 billion in deferred maintenance. That's hard. I mean, without a bond, let's just be honest, it's just not going to happen. So the more you talked about giving students a psychologically safe place every single day, not only intellectually, and also your workforce, but a safe and a clean place, it matters. In order to do that, you've got to have funding to be able to accelerate it and a plan to be able to do it. So I give you credit because it takes the ground game to actively engage community members to be able to accomplish it. And then the other side you talked about is, you know, building a culture of care every single day. And listen, in Florida, it's you can't strike. But however, in other, parts of the countries, it's hard because you don't want that. But at the same token, your job is to be fiscally responsible. It's not that you don't care.
Right.
But for you to unpack it and to come back and say, you know what, I'm leaning into it to figure out how we can be systemic and create that sense of care.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, we got to see people before the work, right?
That's right.
We got some hard work to do.
That's right.
We got a lot of people to love on.
That's right. And this is a relationship business. You said it well. And relationships and people are first.
Yeah.
And as we start to show that sense of care and demonstrate it, then it will grow legs to be able to do cool things instructionally. In your space and in 8 months, how's it been with, you know, interacting with the board, brand new, coming to it, they're new to you, you're new to them, building those systemic relationships is so important. How's it going?
Well, I have seven amazing humans who are choosing to serve our students.
And thank you to the seven.
Yes. And I applaud them and I'm so excited. I think we're also still in the space of learning what it means to team and what it means to be a board that supports a superintendent that is in on policy work and doing the work needed to inform themselves about being good financial stewards of the school district. And so we're in a learning state. We're going to continue to grow and get strong. We have board elections. I have four seats that are open right now.
And that will happen in May?
That will happen in May.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? We got the bond. So listen, my world has been the three B's.
Oh my goodness.
Bond, board, and
budget. My goodness. Definitely. Well, you know what? May will come and so many successes will come out of it for you. I think that the good thing for you is that you're child-centric. You're all about putting your employees first. And from my perspective, that's just a recipe for success. In these, as you look at other individuals that are aspire to transition to the superintendency, you being in it, successful transition of the 8 to 8 months, any feedback that you'd give them?
Yeah. Wow. I love that question. I think aspiring superintendents, first, let me just say, when I was coming to this conference, there was this moment that just kind of hit me. And I was like, man, I remember wanting what I have right now. And I remember coming to this conference as an aspiring principal, as an aspiring central office administrator, and as an aspiring superintendent.
Sure.
So first, let me just say AASA holds a very special space for me.
That's cool.
I think the advice that I'd say is keep leaning in, keep doing the work, keep showing up to be prepared to lead a system as superintendent. And when that day comes, right?
That's right.
Be ready, hold on, engage your community, fill your bank account with relationships,
that's right,
with truth, with communication, because it pays off in the long run. And I need to be here to see it pay off.
That's right.
But I'm filling the bank account right now.
That's awesome. You know what, Doc, so gracefully said. And listen, your journey is just starting. Many years of success. Portland Public Schools has a gem in you. And from our side of it, if we could ever help you, we're here to do it. You heard it here, folks, today from a leader that has transitioned to the superintendency the last 8 months, that has doubled down on building systemic relationships, treating people and showing them, giving value every single day, actively engaged in their community, fighting for funding to be able to take the most ambitious strategies and drive them important in the community. And without the great leaders such as Kimberly, these things don't happen. Until next time, you want to see some cool things happening? You watch Dr. Kimberly Armstrong. She's ready to rock and roll. Eyes are on her doing cool things and special things in Portland. Until next time, I'm your host, Addison Davis. Look forward to seeing you in our classrooms.